That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel
is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
that
will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And we'll say good morning to you and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. Oh, it's the 19th of January already. Can you believe it? January 19th, 2013. And we're all gathered here at the Radio Ranch to tell you good morning and welcome you here with us. We say good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, John.
Good morning.
And we say good morning to you, the remnant. We'll push the button. We'll open the phone lines up today here in a few minutes. I'm sure we've all got a few things to talk about this morning, but we'll open the phone lines up, 307-745-5913. If you're listening in out there, remnant, have any comments or want to call in. But we'll start out with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, this opportunity to be here at the Radio Ranch microphone, Father, to not to fill the boots of our pastor that went before, but Lord, just to continue on. And not just to continue on, Lord, but to grow in the grace and knowledge, to grow, Lord, in the wisdom that you've given us and the wisdom that we learned from our pastor. And so, Lord, strengthen us. Allow us to do that. Allow us to continue to grow in your grace and your mercy and your knowledge. Allow us to continue to feed the sheep, to tend the sheep. And let it be to your glory, Lord. Let it be a blessing to them, and Lord, certainly a blessing to you, and a blessing to us as well. Father, guide each and every one of us here. Direct our thoughts, direct our words. Let us come together, Father, to have a good time of fellowship this morning with you, with each other, and with the remnant. Lord, it is a privilege and a responsibility that we have here, Lord, to come together to bring some encouragement to the remnant, to let them know that, yes, Babylon is falling, that it truly is. It's been falling for a while, and it is just gaining momentum. But, Lord, you still sit on the throne, and you still control the affairs of men. And your word is true where it says that greater is you that is for us than anything that can come against us. So let the remnant remember that, Lord. Let them be encouraged. We do all this to your glory, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And I'll just throw it out there because I'm going to take a sip of coffee and say whoever's got something to start with, go right ahead.
Well, there sure is a lot of interesting things going on in the news. Anybody checked out any of the news lately?
Well, a couple items. Of course, all your between all the gun stuff going on, it seems like the propaganda machine is up and rolling, much like it was in Nazi Germany to come against anybody that didn't stand with Hitler. I've seen some reports out of West Point that the far right is just dangerous to the U.S. And some Homeland Security studies saying that people who talk about their individual liberty, they're branding them as extreme right-wing terrorists. So I don't know if that's the direction you were going, but
I imagine that at the time of that Revolutionary War that there was some extremists back then, too.
Absolutely. That's just how they talked about them.
And I think a lot of times people remember that it was the 2 to 3% of the people that took part in the Revolutionary War as well.
Yeah, it wasn't every home, every person, every father, every son. Not at all. And you know, that's something that when that came out, you really start thinking about that 3%, 3% of the people there were actively involved.
Sounds like a remnant.
Yeah, it does sound like a remnant.
It is a remnant. It was interesting this week, though, that they decided to take all those porno machines out of the airports.
What kind of machine?
Scanners. They're doing those body scanners. They're getting rid of them.
Oh, really? Why?
It was ineffective.
They probably have some stronger ones coming.
Well, yeah, probably exactly. What happened was somebody made a fortune on them installing them, and now they're going to put in something
different. Close to $1 billion, and then now they got to dispose of them as hazmat waste. Yeah, somebody was just greasing their pockets with that, but at least, they're going back to the old system, getting rid of them, and they're not very happy about it, but so you don't know what happened behind the scenes, but something did, and I have a feeling that was just prayer that brought those things down.
Yeah, I just had them figured out, too. All you got to do is take a child with you under 12 years old, and you get to go through just the metal detector, so.
But if that child's 14 years old, they won't do it.
I know, we tried that, did work.
Yeah.
That's probably why we figured out how to get around them, so now they got to do something else.
They got to come up with something else, you know. Kind of interesting.
Yep.
Yeah, one thing you're seeing on the internet is not that we want to be like Israel. Don't get me wrong. Because the people that are in that nation deny Jesus Christ. And we do not want to be like them. But they have come up with effective ways to not need the type of gun control that our ungodly government is pushing here. And so you're seeing all types of pictures and notes and things from Israel on how the people just carry firearms out in the open, whether it's a mother taking her children to school or waiting down at the bus stop, or you see some at a restaurant or even at a bar. And I've seen a couple pictures of them flying with their firearms on what looks like commercial airlines. And so... I think it just, again, not that we want to be like them, but I think that it shows that there are very effective ways to not have the problems that are being blamed on too many guns in society today. And that is to have a responsible, armed populace. You go back to the... like Jason mentioned, to the 1776, to the Revolutionary War. And that's what you had then. I saw a blurb this week, and it said, you know, the Second Amendment wasn't about hunting and fishing, because back then when it was written, if you didn't hunt and fish, you didn't eat.
You didn't live. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that was just a part of life. And, you know, but we go back to the responsibilities that are given to us as Christians, which predate the Constitution by 1,000 years, several hundred years at least. And that is the responsibility to protect our wives, protect our children, protect our families. And then the way I see it anyway is if we follow God's commandments, the two greatest commandments that Christ gave us, to love our Lord, our God, with all our heart, mind, and soul, and that means to obey His commandments. Jason, you did a real good job of when you, I think, started out your program last night. I was listening in on reading that scripture that, hey, if you know, sell your coat and buy a sword if you have to. That was a commandment from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I like how you mentioned it. That was the red letters. That was right from Him, that you are to be armed, and it was for your protection. And so, you know, we if we love Him, we follow His commandments, we obey His word, and then we obey the second greatest commandment, which is likened unto the first, and that is to love your neighbor as yourself. And if I love my neighbor, then, you know, I'm going to watch out for him and his wife and his children as well. And, you know, it's one thing when it's your neighbor that lives next door to you, but it's different when it's your neighbor just in the community or in the town or even in the country. So.
Amen. That's what people need to know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the truth. Luke 22:36. You know, Jeremiah 51:20, good scripture we read last night. I think it fits. You know, it says, you are my war club, my weapon of war, and with you I shatter nations, and with you I destroy kingdoms. You know, there's a reason that he wants his people armed. And even if you don't understand it, it's what he said to do.
Yeah.
A lot of people just have a problem with obedience. That's what we have in wrong with America, is people that aren't obedient to scriptures. That's the sin problem.
Right. Right. We've sure been talking about that the last few weeks. It's not gun control, it's sin control. The people can't, we can't, as a people, control the sin that's in our land and in our lives.
Yeah, I got this this list in front of me that was all the, oh, it goes back through all the different school shootings from February 08-27. There was a wacky school bus driver goes berserk, and he was on painkillers. You know, they try to point the finger always at the gun, at the gun, at the gun. But you look at all these cases of these murders, these killings, these whacked out situations, and you look at the drugs that the people were on. They always want to point the finger, oh, these all had something to do with a firearm. Well, they all had something to do with a prescription drug that was prescribed by some kind of doctor.
Pharmakia, yep, witchcraft.
And, you know, I think that there's, you know, except for when you start looking at the list of the pharmakia crimes, or I don't even know if they're calling them crimes, but if you look at the list of the pharmakia crimes compared to the firearms crimes, the pharmakia crimes, yeah, are quite a bit bigger. You know, you have the whacked out people doing things with vehicles, trying to run people over, trying to kill people with knives, trying to kill people with baseball bats, and, you know, the list just goes on and on and on and on and on. But you look at these, you know, one thing that they're either on some kind of mind-altering drug, some kind of antidepressants. These antidepressants are just horrible. I mean, if anybody's on them, they do not make you anti-depressed.
No. Well, they always...
They do not do anything to get rid of depression.
No.
They say watch, be on suicide watch, right, and everything else.
Right. That's the side effects. Is, you know, for a day they may make you feel happy, but you may kill yourself.
Or someone else, yeah.
Yeah, or someone else.
Well, what's interesting
and you
is
look at the number of the number of people that get on those antidepressants, and then next thing you know, they've committed suicide. Mm-hmm. It is just, it's shocking when you start looking at those numbers. I don't have them here in front of me, but it is it's just if people cannot see that, there's something seriously wrong. Mm-hmm. And everybody that I've talked to that has got on an antidepressant, their life just pretty much comes apart. I've known people that have got divorced as soon as they got on antidepressants, people that just that can't get along with anybody, that, you know, they are completely miserably unhappy once they get on these antidepressants.
Yeah, it's just a witch's brew. It truly is. It is no different than a witch standing over her bubbling cauldron, speaking her spell and throwing in her bat wings and frog legs and everything else. Sorry, John, go ahead.
No, you look at Obamanation's 29 executive orders, not one of them addresses Pharmakia or Hollywood or any of that, you know, because it doesn't fit with their agenda and it doesn't fit with their big money supporters.
Right. No, it calls for more doctors.
Yeah. I got a kick out of the... Somebody sent me a video that was Obamacare's new migraine treatment. And it had, I don't know if I sent it to you guys or not, but it had like a African tribe with a man sitting down, and they put powder on his head, and they're, you know,
slapping him in the head.
Playing the drums, yeah, and just smacking him in the head, and then they start smacking him harder and harder and harder. And it was just kind of funny.
He didn't look like he was liking it too much. I did see that. But that's how the, you know, but there's no difference, John, other than just their upbringing in that black man and those black people that you were watching in that video and in your children and my children. That's the only difference, is the upbringing, right?
Yep.
Yeah, they've been doing a lot of the studies on these flu vaccines. Kind of interesting about this new one. It's an insect-based flu vaccine. Don't know a whole lot about it. But that's what they're using, is insects to grow the flu vaccine. So you sure wonder what's going to come of that. It seems like about every time they change one of these vaccines, we have a new outbreak on some sort of flu pandemic across the nation. And, you know, with this one coming out, I'm wondering if that's not what one of the things that's taking place with all the flu outbreaks that we're having across the country right now.
Yeah. Every time they mess around with something, we get whirling disease or chronic wasting disease
or a bird flu or a swine flu or...
Yeah.
You know, it seems to always follow some kind of new flu vaccine.
You see that article I sent you? Is that what you're talking about, from CDC or whatever?
Oh, I didn't see that one, no.
Yeah. It's along those lines.
Well, you know, boy, if we're going to be worrying about more flu vaccine coming from vegetables and insects and all that, we should probably take some more antidepressants.
No. What's Kyle doing over there, sleeping?
They continue. No, he's right here, just soaking it in. Soaking it in.
Has he got a scripture yet? He's always finding something that goes along with what we're talking about.
Not this morning, but today is, in Wyoming, Celebrate Your Gun Day. Did you hear that, Richard?
Yeah, I think it's all over.
Yeah. Oh, it's all over the
Gun nation. Celebration Day or something.
Go to your, they're saying go to your local outdoor store or sports store or ammunition store or whatever. Just, I don't know, they said buy something, but go there.
Good luck, there ain't nothing.
It's kind of weird, you know, that they do stuff like that, and it's just like, you know, I completely agree, buy a sword. So sell your coat if you have to. But there's, you got to harmonize the scripture, you know, and Richard mentioned love your neighbor, and what I've been, what's been on my mind this week is friends. And the scripture that always keeps coming out, and I've been guilty of not following the scripture so many times, it sickens me, and that is, don't trust in a friend. Because not only will they turn and stab you in the back constantly, it will make your heart sick when it happens. And that's really the big blow, because that'll bring on bitterness, which could bring on cancer, which could, you know, which will affect not only you, but it'll affect your family. I mean, and it's just a domino effect. Now that doesn't mean don't be neighborly to those, you know, to anybody you come across, and we all have obedience we have to do, and we all have a certain job to do. But really, when it gets right down to it, the only friend you can really trust is God.
Right.
And you know, I think of all the old movies I've seen, westerns or whatever, where this guy will come through town, kind of has to do with what you guys are talking about, and he'll be selling the latest snake oil. You know, and I'm sure there was cures. I'm sure there was people that whatever, they came out of there feeling better, or maybe they were completely cured. But it was only for a time. It was temporal.
Right.
You know, because it's just a matter of time before the true snake oil effects happen. And maybe it was 2 years down the road when the guy died and you didn't have a clue what it, you know. And it's that pharmakia stuff. And it's like, I hear this quite a bit, you know, pharmakia is witchcraft, but it's hypocrisy so many times, because so many times they're using some type of pharmakia, just not the one they're talking about that day.
Yeah.
And what it all boils down to is faith in God. Are we going to ever get faith back here in this land?
Yeah.
I mean, true faith, you know, we're supposed to. But that's the question. That was the question in red letters in your Bible. Will there be faith when I come back? And I don't know, just a lot of things, just nothing specific really standing out, but a lot of things are, you know, one of those days where too many things are entering your mind, and it's hard to focus on one.
Yeah, well, and it's interesting, the second part of that scripture that says, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind, says... The second part is found in Jeremiah 17:7, and it says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and who trusts is the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's like saying, you know, I believe in the Lord, but do you believe the Lord? I mean, there's a big difference, because those that God said, I know you not, or Jesus said, I know you not, they believed, but did... they believe. I mean,
well, it's where you're going to put your trust.
Yeah,
right.
You guys are hurting my feelings this morning. Just kidding.
There's, you know, people that, you know, they're going to say that, well, I'm not going to put my trust in man. Well, are you going to put it in God, though? Or there's people that are going to say, you know, I put my trust in God, but do they not have their trust in man?
Right, there's no gap. Something's going to fill,
you know, and,
fill it.
Yeah. And one person, you know, is not to judge another person's where they put their trust either. I mean, that's on a personal level. That's something that, you know, oh, well, I don't think that I don't think that Jim over there, he's got enough trust in God. I think he's trusting too much in man. That's one of those lines where, you know, you can,
oh,
you don't,
no, absolutely.
You don't judge
it's
another
not.
Man's faith or where right. he puts his trust.
No, that's right. Romans 14, where the guy that eats all things, it says, but it's talking right. about meats, and the right. guy who eats only herbs. I mean,
right.
you, know, you know, one is weak in faith, one is strong in faith, but it tells you right there not to judge another man's faith.
Right. And that's for each and every one of us to do when we come to the communion table, is to judge ourselves. If you know, Remnant, if you're listening in, and if something's speaking to you, if you know, hopefully the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. You know, that's what we prayed for, that these broadcasts would be a blessing, not only to the Remnant, not only to God, but to each and every one of us. And that's one of the blessings of communion, is we get the opportunity to come before God and judge ourselves. When we've heard something from the Word, you know, how are they going to believe if they haven't heard? If you've read something in the Word, if something, you know, comes up, you're absolutely right, Jason. It's not, this is not judging others. This is judging ourselves. You know, I read here Paul's letter to the Philippians. In verse 4, we've read it many times where he says, you know, I've learned to be content. I know how to get along by humble means. I know how to live in prosperity. But when he says in Philippians 4:11, he says, not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. And, you know, that's one thing that our people have not learned.
Nope.
Because when they have a headache, they want to take a headache pill. And when they don't feel good, they want to take that antidepressant that Jason was mentioning earlier. And then they don't want to be depressed. And then when they can't sleep, they want to take a pill to make them sleep. And they have not learned, I know he's talking here, I think the context here is in financial situations, but I think it applies to so many more. I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. And I think it would do well for us as a people to learn that as well. You know, when there's times that maybe we don't have the finances that we want more finances, so we go and borrow money, or we run it up on the credit card, and that gets us into trouble. You know, but I think that it applies in the physical as well. I think we would all do well to you know, understand that comes under the subheading of God's provisions. He does provide. He always has for his remnant. He provided for them before this pharmakia was there. And, you know, it's a growth process to get to the point that, you know, that we're not depending on man, that we're not relying on man and the things that he comes up with. It goes on down in verse 13, and we all know this one. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And, you know, it's not judging each other, but it's putting it out there that this is what we have to do. We do have to trust in him. Over in Psalms 119, that's the Psalms of trust. Starting in verse 49, I'd like to read a couple verses here. It says, remember the word to your servant. This is Psalms 119, 49. Remember the word to your servant in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your word has revived me. The arrogant utterly deride me, yet I do not turn aside from your law. I have remembered your ordinances from old, O Lord, and comfort myself. Burning indignation has seized me because of the wicked. Boy, haven't we experienced that? Burning indignation has seized me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes are my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. O Lord, I remember your name in the night and keep your law. This has become mine, that I observe your precepts. And I think that's, I don't know, it speaks to me. Certainly where I want to be.
Yeah. Well, you know, this creeping crud came around here, and some people had it a long time, some people didn't have it very long, and
some people are still fighting.
One of these days.
And it's not just around here; it's all over.
Well, I know.
Yeah.
One of these days, Jason's wife's going to have to give up her recipe there for bitters. But I, you know, in the past, I've taken a cold medicine or something like that. But this time, I had some time because I didn't have to go back to work right away, and so I just was taking that, doing a couple shots of that a day. And I seem to get over it way faster than anybody else. So, I mean, there's God gives us these hidden truths and remedies too that work much better than the pharmakia. And you know, the world is a quick fix, but
yeah, the best remedy is James 5.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's
right.
The best remedy.
Yeah, it is. And then I think learning to be content where we're at. You know, there's times, because he says at the very end of that, he says, nevertheless, you've done well to share with me in my affliction. You know, and again, I understand that, you know, when the writing here from Paul and Timothy here is, he's talking about finances, but I think it's that living word. It applies in so many places. There's times that we do have to go through. What do we do when we're sick more than we do when we're not?
Pray.
What do we do when the forces of evil are coming against us? What do we do when we're under spiritual attack?
Pray. What do we do when we're broke?
We
more
pray,
than other
yeah.
times.
We
pray. I mean, it's always
right.
that. Yeah.
And so what do those things do? See, that's, to me, that's God's way. It's not man's way. It's, you know, if it was man's way, it's, Lord, you bless me. I got my feet on the desk. Not really, but, life is good. Fat and happy. And, you know, read the Song of Moses. That's how we are as a people. When he lets us wax fat, when he lets us grow fat and have our health and our welfare and our safety and all that, we forget him as a people. But, why did God create Adam? For fellowship, to walk with him in the garden, to talk with him in the cool of the evening, to walk and talk and share his creation with him. And when do we go to him? When we're afflicted. When we're afflicted. And you know, it's just an opposite way of how the world looks at it. And so, you know, we've read it in Sunday school, local Sunday school, the last couple of weeks. Exalt in your affliction. That means rejoice. That's hard to do. You know, when your kids are sick or the wife's not feeling well or you don't feel, rejoice at that time. That's a hard thing to do, but it's what the Word tells us to do. And then learn to be content in whatever circumstances we are.
Yep.
I think of that, you know, when Jason read it last night, the apostle said, look, Lord, here are two swords. Today it'd be two guns. And he said, it is enough. You know, we have to learn, I think, to be content in those circumstances too, that sometimes two is enough.
Yeah.
But I think that certainly applies in you know, many, many different aspects of our life.
Sometimes, though, you got brothers that don't make proper plans, so you got to make sure you have a couple more than two.
Oh, absolutely.
Provide for those.
The way I look at it is with my 9 children and son-in-law, that's 10, and the wife and I are 12, so I'm up to a couple dozen, all right, so... You know, at least that I can stay within his guidelines and still be there. But
yep.
Well, guys, let's open up the phone lines. It's halfway through the broadcast here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. It is January 19th, 2013, and you are listening to a live broadcast, if it's Saturday morning where you are, from the Radio Ranch. This is Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We all have our coffee. We are the Wranglers, and we'll open up the phone lines, 307-745-5913. You know, before we get to the end of the program, we do want to invite you to come to church with us tomorrow morning. If you come to the website, scripturesforamerica.org, and you have a good internet connection, you can join us for the live video broadcast of Sunday School and the Welcome by John, and we'll have some good music. Kyle, I think you're up for communion tomorrow. Is that right?
I guess so.
So we'll plan on that anyway. And a communion message by Kyle, and then a Holy Spirit-inspired message by our pastor. I believe that's what we have on the agenda for tomorrow. If you're tuning in to shortwave, you can join us on the shortwave station, WTWW, and listen in. But we do invite you to church tomorrow, 10 a.m. Mountain Time, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast. You can pour your cup of coffee and come to church right there in your wherever your computer is in your home. So don't say you weren't invited. John, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's okay. I got a story. It's pretty encouraging, I think. But one of the local men here that I meet with every now and then for a Bible study, and we did some studies on how to be better fathers and things like that. He sent me an email right after around Christmas time and just said that, hey, you know, I'm coming to you humbly and I'm not asking for anything, but I just want you to know that he's a realtor, and he says I've had about 4 closings this year, and that's the sum of my income. And he said, I just want you to know if you need horses, you know, stalls cleaned or yard cleaned or shop, you know, anything like that, I'd I really need the work, and I'd appreciate it. And anybody you know, I have good references, and I'll work hard and this and that. So I was pretty impressed, and I sent him back, and I said, well, I said, I know you're a strong Christian, you believe, and not sure if he's been baptized yet, but I'm kind of working on that. But I said, what about tithing? What's your thoughts on that? I said, you realize that, you know, Malachi 3:10 says, you know, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you the blessings until it overflows. And I said, that's the only place in the Bible where God says, test me. And he says, yeah, I know. Believe me, I'm a, you know, faithful tither. And I said, well, then you got nothing to worry about, because God don't lie. And he sent me back an email, oh, I guess it was a week ago or so, and he just said, you know, praise God, I had a closing, and I got three more scheduled in February, and I should be caught, you know, back up financially by the end of February. And I sent him back, you know, seek ye first the kingdom, and all these things shall be added to you. But as I was reading through Scripture the other day, I was convicted by two things. One, the Scripture I was reading. Another was a memory of a sermon that Dad just did on tithing. So we got a minute. Let's look at James 2:14-20. And the title of it is Faith and Works. So it says, what use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Well, that convicted me, and I sent out an email to some of the other brothers that meet with this man, and I said, hey, this guy's down on his luck. He's not asking for anything. He's asking for work. He's not asking for a handout. And then I remembered what our pastor said, too, how one day somebody showed up at his door with a gift, an offering from those that loved him and his family and knew that they were down on their luck. And so we took an offering and we gave it to him. The point is, sometimes to fulfill the obedience of someone who is tithing, who is following God's laws, he uses other people that he's blessed abundantly. And I think we need to be able to recognize that.
Amen.
So that's my short sermon.
You know, and that goes right into Abraham, you know, from the point you stopped on. It talks about Abraham and his faith. And if anybody out there can remember back when Abraham came upon Melchizedek, you know, he gave him a tenth
of all that he had.
Of all that he had, you know. And Jesus Christ, it says in Hebrews 7, if you want to read it in verse 11 or whatever, it talks about Jesus Christ came in the form of Melchizedek's priesthood. Not the Aaron, not the Levitical priesthood we had in the days of Moses, you know, but after the order of Melchizedek, you know. So, I mean, it's not just in Malachi where it tells you to pay the tithe, because we're supposed to have that faith that Abraham had. And what did Abraham do? I mean, he gave a tenth of everything he had to Melchizedek. And Jesus Christ came in the order of Melchizedek. So that's what we're supposed to do. You know, that's just what we're supposed to do. It's supposed to be part of our everyday life. You know, just like anything else, just like loving your neighbor, just like, you know, keeping the commandments of God. I mean, that is just, it just goes right into play You know, and that is what we're supposed to do. That's why everybody needs to read about Melchizedek, because if that's the spirit and that's the order that our Lord is in, it's kind of important. Yeah.
I think that's that'd be a good subject for a little deeper study into.
I
know a lot of people have never even heard of it. I mean, we've heard of it through our pastor, but I don't know that I've ever heard that representation that you just gave, Kyle, so that might be something to look into in the future, maybe.
It is. It's pretty interesting, actually, when you get into it. And it is it's a little confusing. I mean, it can be, you know, because there's not a whole lot written about Melchizedek in the Old, so it's not like you can refer to a whole bunch of stuff, but...
Right.
But... I mean, there's basic truth there.
But he gave a tithe
before
the law was established, what we call the law.
Right.
And it says here in 7:11, just, I flipped over there, Kyle, like you said, and it says there in verse 16, it says, who has become such not on the basis of a law of physical requirement. And I think that tithing applies there. It's not a law of physical requirement, but according to the power of an indestructible life. And you know, that's what his commandments are. They're not a physical requirement. I mean, they are, but that's not the limit of them.
Right.
That's not the purpose of them. That's not what, you know, and it's that works that John was talking about. It
works with faith.
It's a physical, but it is. It has to have that faith with it, and it is and it gives the power. It is according to the power of an indestructible life. That is, that to me, that faith with works. Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to your...
when the Holy Spirit
I'm looking forward to that study, Kyle, when you bring that. Let us know
when
you have that ready.
Yeah, well, you know, as you get into the book of Jasher and the book of Enoch and Septuagint and all that, you're thinking, man, I wish there was a few more books on the New Testament that gave a little bit more light, shed a little more light on some of this stuff.
Well, if it was easy, anybody could do it, right?
Yeah.
That's right.
No callers.
Calls, huh?
No, got the phone lines open, 307-745-5913.
Last week they didn't stop ringing.
Yeah, and you know, Wednesday nights have been just ringing off the hook for sure. So, speaking of Wednesday nights, I've got a couple of notes off. John, you sent me a good website that I got a couple of notes off of. And, you know, we talk about, the Bible talks about, you know, what shall separate us from the love of God? You know, neither death nor persecution and all these different things. But, you know, we forget that there are Christians that are persecuted around the world. They certainly are here. The Columbine shooting is a good example. Those drugged out, demonic little bastards that went in, you know, they were singling out Christians. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Yes, I do. Bam. That's what they were doing. You don't hear about that.
And they were Jews.
Yeah, you don't hear about that on CNN and Fox. But you hear about that. But we have, well, let's go to the phone lines. We'll come back to this. These Christians being persecuted. Good morning. You're on Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, gentlemen. This is Kevin in Ohio. How you doing?
Good, Kevin. Good morning.
Besides sounding on very, very important topics, it's a grand morning here, too, to listen to you. I had one. I'd like to talk a little bit what you were talking about, the pharmakia. And also, I want to kind of hearken something up from the past. Pastor Peter's holding a couple, like, three-hour programs for events. Can you remember the Halloween or a New Year's party? How he broadcast and for, like, about three-hour evening programs. And... I want to see if you would put together something like that for an event, like a semi-annual or annual congregation of the elders in a live broadcast. You have the latitude with the wonderful guys down there in Tennessee with the equipment and everything. And can you... Fellas, one of you comment on that, and I'd like to bring something else up real quick.
Well, Kevin, sure. We'll sure take it under consideration. You know, the pastor had done some longer than 1 hour broadcasts before. I distinctly remember the 2 hour Halloween broadcast. So we'll talk it over and see what we can schedule. That's certainly not out of the realm of possibility.
And the 24-hour New Year's.
Yeah. Yeah,
that was that about three or four years ago.
Yeah, that was something else. That was sure a marathon. So.
Yeah. That
okay.
I want to bring that up because when there was 1 hour here in the morning and 1 hour there in the evening, just one of you gents are there. The laborers there at out west, and not all of us can travel that far for the meetings. Although having been out the third year and. Another place down in Tennessee and so forth. I just want to bring it up so we could all like have an expected time. It would really bless me. I know that. Maybe some of the other men on the ministry would like to mention that over the air too. But back to the pharmakia, I wanted to mention that I've told Richard in the past. I watched a wonderful Christian woman. That wouldn't release one thing from her worldly life was to trust in pharmakia for a sleeping pill, and she went through the persecution of the Soviets for at least the first 15 years of her Christian life, and watched brothers in her church go to prisons and get beat and tested at everything in the blood for the faith, but she wouldn't give that one thing up. She was a white Russian. I brought her here, and we had a wonderful life for over 10 years, but she wouldn't give up on a sleeping pill. And that pharmakia took her down to where she told me in the last 2 weeks of her life she fought the devil in her bedroom. In her mind right there. And found her... It took her life. I found her, she killed herself. And
yeah, pharmakia is
it's real. I want to tell men it's real. We'll talk about
that.
It in these away from us terms, and I want to bring it up that it's real.
It is.
That benzoid drug, a benzoid drug, supposedly just a cheap sleeping pill, you read nightmares on information places and I was a grunt medic in the NOM in the north in I Corps, and I'd rather go through that again than watch that person go by the devil. And God bless you, man. I'm telling you out in reality here, the more contact we have with this group of men and this ministry, the better off we are. And I hope everybody keeps uniting in that right elite. God bless you.
Keep the first part of June open.
Pardon me?
There's definitely going to be some sort of gathering there in the Midwest, so we'll have details as it develops.
Yeah, we're just saying, Kevin, to you and all the remnant, we're going to plan on maybe that second weekend of June, a gathering of the remnant in somewhere in the Midwest, so we do have some things planned. So, well, Kevin, thanks so much for your call. Know that we do keep you in our prayers as well. Thank you. And we'll have time for a couple more phone calls. Phone line's ringing. Good morning. You're on Coffee with the Wranglers.
Is that me, Richard?
That is you, yes.
Oh, good. This is Becky from Minnesota.
Hi, Becky.
Hi. And I kind of got in a little late today, but I heard you were talking about pharmacy and witchcraft and stuff, and I heard you reading from the Psalms. And I just wanted to bring to the front of the mind also Psalms 119, 113.
Uh-huh.
And it says, I hate those who are double-minded.
Amen.
But I love your law. Then 114 says, you are my hiding place and my shield. I wait for your word. And I thought it was very interesting because I knew it was the New American Standard, and the footnote next to wait says hope in.
Yes.
So I just wanted to, I'm sure that has been discussed before, but I just wanted to bring that out again. And then I also wanted to share something I've found. I was, the past few days, I've been going through the concordance, and I've been looking up different words. It all started with the word love, because I'm like, well, you know, that, I'm sure that was perverted, which it was. So then I've been going through all these different words, and one of them, I looked up the word savior. And this word, deliver, and it goes into, from the Greek concordance, 2:49:90 and 49:82, which stems to save. And in the word save also has the meaning get well, made well, cured. And I started thinking about that, and I thought, well, you know, because he's had a lot of health problems and stuff, and going back and forth to the doctor. And I started thinking about that, I thought, that is why the doctors cannot cure anybody, because that would make them a savior. And I think I hit on something there. I might be kind of silly, but I think I really hit on something there.
I think you're right on.
I can't hear. Can you turn her up at all? Or can you turn up the color?
It's absolutely, Becky. That's just how it is. You know, he is our savior. He went to the cross to save us from our sins, save us from our sicknesses and our diseases as well. So, absolutely. I think you're right on there.
And our enemies.
So I just thought I'm sorry?
I just said, and our enemies.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. Save us from our enemies and those that hate us. Well, Becky, thanks so much. You have a great weekend.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I just thought I'd share that. And have a good weekend.
Thanks. You too.
Thank you. Bye.
And I got one more line ringing here. Good morning. You're on Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, this is George.
Good morning, George.
Illinois. Hey, how are you guys doing this morning?
Doing well.
I got a quick question for you. Actually, I got two questions for you. Maybe you guys can answer them before the show's over. We was doing a Bible study Wednesday night at the house, and we was going through Deuteronomy chapter 23. And verse 1 says, he that is wounded in his stones and hath his private member cut off, as King James, shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. And verse 7, thou shalt not abhor an Edomite, for he is brother. Thou shalt not abhor an Egyptian, because thou wast a stranger in his land. Then verses confused me, and I was wondering if you guys maybe be able to explain them a little bit for me before the show is over.
Probably not in 6 minutes.
probably not in 6 minutes, George.
But the pastor does have an old tape called Hands Off.
George, are you still there?
Somebody,
I guess we lost George there.
But he does have an old tape called Hands Off, and I think he touches on the stones part. You know, I mean, I don't know it well enough just to say what it is, but we can definitely look into that. And the other thing he's talking about, it can be a little confusing, but there's a way to harmonize it.
Right.
But I can't do it in the short amount of time we got. How about you, Jason? Can you do that?
There in no 6 minutes. I know that I asked Pastor Peters about that. He gave me a list of people to ask about that scripture. I think another translation is, do not detest an Edomite.
Yeah, that's the New American Standard. Yeah,
and nobody has an answer for it. Nobody knows.
Yeah,
he didn't have an answer for it. Earl Jones didn't have an answer for it. Jack Moore didn't have an answer for it. Nobody could. Nobody really understood it. Every one of them had tried, and they said that when it came down to it, honestly, they couldn't come up with an answer on it.
And the best way to get an answer is have the Bible answer itself. And so when you come to one, and this isn't a lone thing, there's other things in there that it's hard, it doesn't really give you an answer to itself. So the things that does give you an answer, stick with those. You
know? Yeah, exactly.
Amen.
That's good point.
Right. And ask. Ask the Holy Spirit. Yeah. You know, the Bible says, ask and you shall receive. And you know, now it may not be immediately, but you will. Let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. Thanks for calling into Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yeah, I ended up.
Hey, George. Yeah. I didn't know if you heard that.
I called back with my wife's phone.
Okay. Yeah, well, Kyle had said, you know, the pastor's got a message. It's an older broadcast called Hands Off. And he does kind of touch base on the, with that just a little bit. And then,
On the giblets.
On the giblets, yeah. And then on the other, okay. You know, Jason even mentioned that, you know, and he'd asked the pastor the same thing. And you know, it's not that it can't be understood or reconciled, but it's a difficult thing. And Jason had mentioned that, you know, Colonel Moore and Pastor Jones had said the exact same thing in reconciling it.
I mean, the first one, it's definitely talking about castration. You know, I mean, and the females and even the preachers and stuff. I mean, they're going to be held accountable for castrating the men the way they do.
Yeah.
And
I was wondering if it even fell under the vasectomy type thing going on too, or
that's got to be a form of castration too. I mean,
there's two messages you should listen to. It's called Stones to the Stone Kingdom, Part 1 and 2.
Yeah, that's a men's only.
Yeah.
Not that the women can't listen to it, but I know it was given to a men's only class.
Yeah.
Okay. All righty. Well, thanks a lot, guys.
All right, George. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Yep.
Well, 5 minutes to go, guys. We've invited the remnant to church tomorrow. I'd like to give a praise report. You know, being here in the office, we get the majority of the phone calls and things, and had several new people call in this week. You know, when we get the mail every week, we do have new people. You know, hey, I heard you on shortwave or found you on the internet or my friend gave me a CD or a booklet. But this week had, I think, four new people actually called in. And it was from friends, acquaintances, sharing information with them. Whether it's on the 91st days, whether it's on the God Save America again, whether it's on the DC Street Sorcery, and all of those were mentioned this week. So I want to put out a thanks to the remnant that are not just hearing the word, but are being doers of the word as well, and in helping plant the seed of the gospel and share this good news with others. Many are contacting us and asking about, you know, questions, and I think we've sent out several introductory packets this week, you know, from that directly. So that's a good thing. The remnant, there are many in the remnant out there that just don't know that they're part of the remnant yet.
Yeah. Yeah, I talked to a new guy. He called in a few minutes after Tuesday night show, Saddle Up, and he said it was Tom from Texas. So I thought it was Tom from Texas that we all know.
Right.
You know? But it took me about 2 minutes to realize, oh, this isn't that Tom from
it's
Texas.
It's a different Tom.
And he was new. He just stumbled across it on shortwave, I think. You know, I think that's what he said, but it was kind of cool.
Yep. So we do say thank you, Lord, and thank you, Remnant, for that. We encourage you. We're working on another newsletter. Hope to get that started printing next week. That's Volume 1, 2013. And just give you a little teaser. I think it's going to be titled The Book of Remembrance. That's what we're working on. So we'll have that coming out. Hopefully get that printed next week and then in the mail. And you can get that in the mail. You can have it emailed to you. And we'll also post it up to the website, scriptures4america.org, where you can go and read it there. Well, again, thank you all for joining us. Men, if I could ask you guys to hang on the phone if you could, and we'll finish this out. We just had a couple things to talk about real quick. And, again, Remnant, thanks for joining us. Our address is Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and pray together, make them hells and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off.
disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them.